Matthew chapter 10, if you would, please. Thank you, and thank you. Matthew chapter 10. Thank you for the music tonight, Mui Mal. That was nice. We're happy that you're playing the piano. That's nice. Either that or electric guitar by your husband, so that would be not as good. So I want to ask you a question. Do you have a large family or a small family? I used to think I understood, well, I don't know how you describe a large family, but I do know that in Judy's family, everybody's named Judy. Is that correct, Judy? It's all with a J. But what is your older sister's name? Oh, Judith. Excuse me. Judith. Can you imagine if your mother gets mad at you and she starts with the oldest child and goes down the list? Now, I'm joking, but I'm going to talk about tonight one of the, we're going to spend the next three Sunday nights on a guy by the name of James. I'm not going to do anything deep. I'll do a little bit deeper in the name next week. By the way, the name James in the Greek New Testament, you quickly recognize that the word James is actually Jacob. It's the Greek form of Jacob. James is the English form that we say. If you speak Spanish, it's Santiago. If you do slang Spanish, it's Jaime, but it's the same name. Now, friends, in my dad's family, which I would consider a large family, dad's mother's family had 19 children. Would you consider that large? Now, there was a total of 24 children. He was married three times. His first two wives died. He married the third wife, and I guess he didn't have enough children, so he had 19 more. And they ran out of names. So I would always remember, Jenny, you've seen some of them years, and they're all with the Lord now or gone. But there was, Dad would say, well, that's Big Aunt Dot, which implies there's a little aunt. How do you know which one's big and which one's little? And what do you even know? What does that even mean? Well, tonight, next Sunday night, and the following Sunday night, without being crazy, we're going to look at James, three different guys with that name in the New Testament. And it is kind of important. Let's stand, and we will look at this together, please. James, we'll look at Matthew chapter 10. It's in your notes. I didn't get notes for whatever reason. I didn't give myself notes, so I'll just speak on what I have, and you can do the best you can. I'm going to read the passage. Chapter 10, verse 1. This is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is not found in John. John does not give us this. And then Luke gives us the names of these men again in Acts chapter 1 with slight variation. Look at me. Because people had different names. And I'm assuming, or should I assume, people didn't have second names, with the exception of the, you know, Roman aristocracy, and they had 14 names. So, you know, you just lots of people. If I told you one of my favorite uncles, he's not healthy, hadn't been for 10 years. My uncle has been married twice, and his wife was named Sandy. How common is the name Sandy? He married a woman and went off to a wonderful place for his 18th birthday called Vietnam. He was there for 2 years, and that Sandy divorced him while he was in Vietnam, said bye-bye. He comes, what are the chances? He comes home, meets a nice Christian woman, good woman, named Sandy. James is, there's at least three in the New Testament. There might be more. And I will be honest with you, a couple of the passages, this is my answer. No, no. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he called unto him 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the name of the 12 apostles are these. By the way, disciple has more of the idea when you come to Christ, trust Christ, and become a follower, a learner, someone learning, growing, etc. An apostle then was, you know, we don't have them today. This is an official designation, one chosen to take the message, found the church, write the scripture. Verse 2. Now, the name of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. And other things we'll learn in Mark. And Andrew, his brother. By the way, many people think that there were six sets of two. One of these we know was a twin, because his name means twin, Thomas. So you have six sets of two you see very clearly in this. There's Peter and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. That is the John that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. He was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. From all accounts, he was by far the youngest of the whole group, probably a very young, teenagerish young man. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, publicani, telones, tax collector, whatever term you want to use. It appears that Thomas and Matthew were probably twins. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus. And then you have the last two guys. We could talk about Simon the Canaanite. By the way, for all of you that do reading, the King James translates this accurately. If you read the ESV, it'll probably put them both the same. Matthew and Mark use a different word. It uses the Aramaic word. Luke, in the book of Acts, written by the same person, calls him Zelotes, which is the Greek word for the Aramaic word, same word. He was part of the party in, before his salvation, he would have been part of an underground revolutionary group that wanted to, had one big purpose in mind, getting rid of the Romans violently. We don't hear anything about that here. Then you have this guy called Judas. There's also another Judas that comes along. There's a couple of these guys, too. By the way, Huda, I don't call you Judas. Judas is simply the Greek form of Judah. And the King James and modern English translations write in a little book, your 26th book, they call it Jude. I'm sorry, it's Judas. But nobody wanted to be called Judas after Judas. There is at least a possibility, if you're interested in this kind of thing, Iscariot. There's been a lot of debate about what that means, but if these two guys were there together, it is a possibility. One was a zealot. That, by the way, zealot is not someone that's jealous only. It's a revolutionary, and in Acts chapter 26, a weird Latin word is used. It's a possibility. Iscariot is from the Hebrew ish, man or son of, and sicca, which is a dagger to murder people. It is a possibility that Judas also was a revolutionary. So you have two of them that got saved. By the way, and you're missing the most important thing. Matthew was a tax collector for whom? For the Romans. I have no idea what these guys talked about, but you talking about having a right winger and a left winger in the same place? Getting saved? Oh, yes, that's interesting. All right. Mark 3, you can look in your notes, verse 13. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. By the way, obviously the most important thing was to start in this personal mentorship, daily walking. By the way, we all have this. But we're not all apostles, but they would be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. And Simon, he surnamed, he gave a nickname or a second name, Peter, which also has its Cephas, which is the Aramaic, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them, and I do not know really how to say that word, which is the sons of thunder. So it interprets it for us because it's an Aramaic word. It means descendants of thunder, whatever that means. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot. Ish, if this means an ish, and the whole concept of the sika, the dagger man Judas, possibly. But he ended up betraying him, and they went into a house. All right, we're going tonight just quickly look. I have in your notes a nice way of understanding this person. Everyone look at me. One of two, one of three, one of 12, one of one. It's a real simple process. We're not going to start. It's one of one. He was one of two. Most of the time, he's known as one of two. Sometimes he's one of three. He's always one of the 12. He ends up being, like we all are, one of one, meaning we're all unique in some ways. We're going to do a full circle on the man, James. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I ask your help as we just look at simple ideas. I'm not trying to change the world tonight. I do want to establish a couple of things that could help all of us immensely. We need to come to think through, work through, think about, reflect on, meditate on some of these ideas. Help us, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What do we know about this James? Well, we're going to try to keep this James separate. I say, number one, he is one of two. You say, what do you mean, one of two? Well, he's always mentioned in the Gospels, and when he's mentioned as an apostle, as having a brother. And the brother, in many ways, is more important. John. John writes the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the great book of Revelation. He's always connected to John, one of two. That's Matthew 10:2. That's Mark 3:17. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. So you always get them together. Now, we're going to do something. You all listening? We're going to do exactly this. We're going to start here. If you listen in the next 2 minutes, when you come to the end, you're going to be right where you began, putting it all together, because there's something that happens. We're going to look. It's in your notes, but you'll need to turn to your Bibles if you would. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew 20, please, verse 20. I have the appropriate verses, but I want to add two verses to it. Matthew 20, verse 20. It's in the notes, but you'll need it for 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. We find out this one of two, we find out about his mother, their mother. It says in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping, which means it's probably worshiping, but it also means bowing, paying respect, that sort of thing, and desiring a certain thing of him or from him. Have you ever met women like that? These are grown men. Look at me. These are grown men. And mama is still running the show. And she's coming to Jesus. She says, I just want something small. What do I want? Well, let's read. Verse 21. He said to her, modern English, what do you want? What do you need? How can I help you? What wilt thou? She said unto him, nothing much. Grant or give that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. Not at McDonald's, by the way, folks. In the kingdom, all I want, just something small. When you're the King of Kings and Lord, I want one of my sons on one side and one of my sons on. Now, when you read Mark, a lot of Marys in the New Testament too. The mother here drops out in Mark, but Like, really? Is that all? Well, let's look at the next two verses, which are not in your notes. I said we're going to end here, so you better read it. 22. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. By the way, have you ever asked something of the Lord, knowing you didn't know what you were talking? Everybody look at me. Do you believe in prayer? Somebody asked me, do you Baptists believe in prayer? Does God heal through prayer? Yes. Can I ask you a question? How many people have I ever prayed for that I wanted God to heal? All of them. If I got my prayers, nobody would ever die. By the way, we pray all the time. We don't know what we're praying for. He says, yeah, this is, you don't know what you're asking for. Let's keep reading. It'll conclude well at the end. He says, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, what? Oh, yes. By the way, friends, drinking of that cup, remember that cup for Jesus was the cup of the wrath of God. And that baptism wasn't water, friends. That baptism was, he was going to identify with the sins of mankind and suffer for man's sin. He said, are you able to suffer like that? And they said, no problem. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll move on. One of two in your notes. One of two facts. First of all, they were sons of Zebedee. We know nothing about Zebedee other than his name was Zebedee. He was a brother of John. John being the John of the book of John, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and of course the book of Revelation. He gets later on very closely connected to the church in Antioch, or Ephesus in Antioch. He's always in that area of the world. He obviously was the son of a strong mother. Is that what you would call her? What do they call them? Tiger mothers? Helicopter mothers? A Jewish mother? I mean, they're just mothers that, well, don't, my boy, it's usually a boy. I think the mothers were very jealous or zealous, either one, for her sons, and maybe just a little too much. And lastly, one of two, they were sons of thunder. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a son of thunder? Boisterous? Loud? Here's the problem, friend. Normally speaking, if you call someone a son of thunder, you're going to think this is a loud, you know, maybe angry, you know, furious kind of person in your face. But how do you choose nicknames? You choose a nickname. By the way, my favorite nickname in history, if you're an American coming from English descent, Robin Hood had a friend named Little John. Was he little? He was exactly the opposite of Little John. Here's the thing. When you read the entire New Testament, the one thing you never know is this. You never, ever recognize these guys as people that were, I tend to think it was the opposite. It would be like Emily Tupper. She is a son of thunder, not. It was, you know, a way of, you know, affection maybe. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that they were very strong in the sense of explosive, fiery. We have no evidence. But that's, it could be they were. I know that's what the words mean. One of two, number two in your notes, one of three. Now we get a little bit more on the inside, and this is kind of interesting. It's not found all over the New Testament and the Gospels, but it is found enough to discuss it. One of three. Mark 5:36, and as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered, or he allowed, no man to follow him at that moment, save or except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So a few times in the New Testament, he shows up in a very unique relationship as an insider. one of three, Peter, James, and John, at least three of the four references here. Mark 9, verse 2. It's the time of Jesus is going to the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says what? And Jesus taketh with him. By the way, he didn't take with him the other disciples. There were 12 of them. He took three, Peter, James, and John. Everyone look at me. Does it make sense that he took John? Yes, because John writes. Does it make sense that he took Peter? I got a question for you. What did this James ever do? But he was one of three. He was allowed in an inside situation, conversation. He was allowed in the Mount of Transfiguration, which is fabulous. I'm just giving you suggestions. You can go back and read the context of these because it's important. Mark 13, 3. Now we have another situation. It's at the very end of his public ministry. He's observing Matthew 24, Mark 13. He's observing the temple. And it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John. Now we have Andrew, so it's not quite three, but Andrew is Peter's brother. Ask him privately. But again, these three guys are kind of inside even the 12. It was like there was 12, but they're inside that. Mark 14, 33. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, those three, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Watch means to stay awake. Everybody look at me. Did they stay awake? So we now have something else about this James. One of two, a brother with John, always mentioned together. Now one of three. Here are my thoughts. They were allowed with him when others were not. It states it. There's no other way around it. So at times, he selected that group to go with Jesus. Jesus selected that group to be with him by himself. I'm not going to make any hay from this because I don't see other than Jesus chose them to be with him. He did it. Secondly, they were with him in the Mount of Transfiguration. My goodness, if you wanted to be one place with Jesus, where would it be? I think the Mount of Transfiguration would be one of them. I think one of them would not be the cross. I'm going to say it again. I think one of them would not be the cross. I think one of them would be nice to be able to be there on the resurrection morning and to see the resurrected Christ. James gets to be part of that. But these three guys are there at very crucial times. They're there when others were not allowed. They're there on the Mount of Transfiguration. They're there, obviously, at the Mount of, up at the temple, and they're observing the temple. I say this, they're with him for special instructions. They're the ones that heard this great Matthew 24, Mark 13 passage about the temple, what was going to happen, what was going to happen in the future. They get to hear it first person. And lastly, they're with him in the garden when he is suffering and praying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. These three men were right there close with him. They were supposed to be watching. Jim, if you're on watch in the Navy, what does that require? You better stay alert and stay awake, and you better not. Let me ask you, did they stay alert? All right, what do we make of this? And I say, first of all, I'm not 100% certain. The Bible doesn't make anything of this special three. Now, by the way, I've heard pious sermons. They were part of the three. There's the Trinity. Oh, shut up. All of that. Let's not go any farther than what we know. Here's what we know. It was all the Lord's choice. The Lord chose those three men and used them in some specific times. Secondly, it was not about the men themselves. You say, why not? They were in three, by the way, look at me, everybody. They were in three special places. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Can anybody off the top of your head tell me what they did there? All the passages, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, basically say they started talking and they didn't know what they were talking about. So if you think it's glorious to be the inner three, they didn't get the Mount of Transfiguration. They did get to go. Of course, in the temple, you say, what did they learn from that? Have you read Acts chapter 1? We begin Acts chapter 1. They ask, are you going to restore the Jewish nation right now? They didn't get Matthew 24, and Jesus himself is teaching them. But they were part of the special three. How about the garden? Well, in the garden, they all fell asleep repeatedly, 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 while Jesus was praying, suffering, sweating, as it were, drops of blood. So, it's all the Lord's choice. It's not about the men themselves. Don't make these men out to be special. On the Mount of Transfiguration, my word is they were dense. They were boneheads. They were people that didn't get it. In the temple, they were confused because they didn't understand how this was going to work out. And in the garden, they were asleep. But I would say it was a great privilege and therefore a great responsibility. What if the Lord gives you some special experience? This is for Dave Haas. He's here. Dave, this is for you. Everyone look at me. I am a non-experiential person. I don't go looking for my hair to stand up. I don't think I have visions of God, but can I say this? Is it possible that you could have some kind of overwhelming experience with the Lord? The answer is yes. Good men throughout history, Christian men, people that weren't seeking weird things. Jonathan Edwards talked about being overcome by the love of God one time. I don't have a problem with that. If it happens, it happens. Enjoy it, move on, because it means nothing other than it happened. By the way, stuff like this happens. And I don't know what to make of this other than the three places they got to go. The Mount of Transfiguration, it ends up saying that they didn't know what they were talking about. And obviously, they didn't understand what he was talking about. This temple is going to be destroyed. And not only destroyed, this is referencing the future. And in the future, I'm going to say, because in Acts chapter 1, they're immediately saying, what about the kingdom? It's like, didn't we just talk about this? No, they couldn't get it. And they definitely didn't get the great privilege of going in the garden. They fell asleep. Number three, 1 of 12. We're not going to read all these verses for time because we're going to get done so I can go home and watch Mexico. You say, are you joking? Yes, I'm joking. I am going to go home and watch Mexico. I'm not in a hurry, but I don't need to pontificate on this because we're going to conclude. Everyone look at me. When you think of James, the brother of John, always think he's one of two. There was two brothers. Sometimes two brothers are very close. Dada, are you and your brother close? Do you like him? Do you like your brother? All right. How many years apart are you? Let's get a little problem in the family. Can I say this? There are some brothers that are very close. I think these two brothers were close. That's beautiful. The mother, I think, was a tiger mother, helicopter mother. All I want. By the way, 1 of 3, they had special privileges. He's always part of the 12. Got me? I don't need to read all the verses. He's always part of the 12, meaning the 12 apostles. Don't get weird on the 12 apostles. Which one was it? Paul? I'm not answering those questions. Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. Now, the name of the 12 apostles. He's mentioned. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, if you skip down one of the 12, there were 12 disciples, then he made 12 apostles. Matthew 10, 5 says, then these 12 Jesus sent forth. 11:1 says, his 12 disciples. Matthew 20:17, the 12 disciples he took apart. 26:14, one of the 12 called Judas. I mean, he was one of the people that were there to found the church, to establish the church on the teaching of the apostles from Jesus, and to write the scripture. He's one of the guys. He's one of the guys that saw the resurrection, the resurrected Christ, all the way down in 1 Corinthians 15:5. And I'm guessing his name will be on the wall. In the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So he's one of two. He's one of three. He is one of 12. And lastly, we conclude by saying he's one of one. Everybody look at me. And gone way too soon. What's the next reference after the Gospels? Look at me. The next reference to James after Acts chapter 1, he's listed. Are you looking at me? He gets beheaded. Lord, Lord, why did you spend three and a half years training this person, making him one of the 12, and he's gone? Well, we'll come back to it. Look in your Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king. This is not Herod Antipas. He's dead by this time. This is Herod Agrippa the first. 24, 25, and 26, you get Herod Agrippa the second. This is a guy, his best friend. Sparky, you know his best friend. He performed the funeral rites for his best friend, which was Gaius Caligula, after he was assassinated. He grew up in Rome. He was sent back by Caligula to be the king. He was the first one that had power. And when he got the power, he decided to do what? Well, let's read. About that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and with absolutely no explanation, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, this is for 2 weeks from now. Now, you remember the next part of the story? Peter's in prison. By the way, they arrest Peter too. Peter gets out. By the way, funniest story, the funniest passage in all the Bible about your prayers and mine. They're praying, oh God, deliver Peter. Oh God, deliver Peter. Peter comes up. And when he gets there, they don't believe it's him. The girl runs off freaking out. And it's like, you're praying for the guy to be delivered. God has just delivered him. But here's the point I want you to make. And now we come for the first big reference to another guy by the name of James. He will be very important in our discussions in a couple weeks. But he, Peter, beckoning with them, with a hand to hold their peace, he delivered unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he, Peter, said, go show these things unto. By the way, that's James, the Lord's brother. In history, called James the Just. We'll talk about him not next week, the following week. Let me finish with some thoughts. My first thought is a question. Do you remember, or do we remember Matthew 20, verse 22 and 23? Everybody look at me. I said we were going to start and end where? And what was the beginning? His mother comes and says, we want something for my children. One can sit on the one hand, one on the other side. And he says, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able? And they said, yeah, no big deal. By the way, I don't think this is judgment. I think this is God's divine sovereignty. James, one of the three insiders, one of the good guys, is gone very early. Friends, I stand here, and I'm going to say this to everyone. We've lost people in my, you know, one of the things you don't think about when you become a pastor is people dying. That if you don't love them, you don't care. But if once you get connected as a pastor, you love people. We've had some pretty big disappointments in my life. I can still see him coming through the doors right over there. He would have wristbands around his wrist from about here to here. He wore clothing that nobody could wear outside of him and Louis Haddas. Oh, Samwise Ganji, I love that guy. Why did God take him home? All right, get over all of your emotions. Why did God take James home? By the way, I suffer for you, Jesus. We'll see. He's gone. By the way, Rick Lavalette was in a different stage of life. He was in his early 50s. He was one of those other guys that when he got saved, it was just like he really got saved. I remember him coming to talk. He talked to my wife and I. He talked to me. He owned a cabin in Wisconsin. He said, I have to sell that cabin. He said, I took my kids there. I introduced my kids to drinking there. I told my own children dirty jokes. I couldn't have that cabin because of that. And the Lord just, you guys never even met him. You came here on the Wednesday that he died in the hospital. He lied to everybody. Well, he didn't lie. He didn't tell everybody the truth. None of us. By the way, I don't know why. James Montgomery Boyce. Most of you don't know that name. One of the great Presbyterian preachers. He was the most powerful Presbyterian church in the world. 10th Street Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. Very historic Presbyterian church. Very similar to ours. Very similar to ours. A good man. He got liver cancer. I still remember he was 59 or something. He got liver cancer and he knew he was gone. He says, this was his words. Please don't pray for me. The God that made the choice, I'll follow the choice. He was gone shortly. There was a guy that was a professor, Covenant Seminary, before my time. I believe he was a graduate and maybe even went all the way through PhD at Bob Jones, because there was quite a few of them. Old guys that were at Covenant, he was before my time. His name was J. Barton Payne. J. Barton Payne was a great theologian, known to be one of those guys that was unique in his thinking. Didn't always agree with him, but a brilliant guy. J. Barton Payne went on vacation to, you've been there, Cliffy. You have climbed Mount Fuji. He was climbing and died. Gone. Can I say this to you? Welcome to reality. Let me just say this. Here's the beauty of James' story. He was one of two. He had a brother. He was one of three. He had special privileges. He was one of the 12, but all of us are one of one. God's will for you is unique. I don't know what it is. It could be in this room. Some of us will live to be 100. It could be some of us don't live tonight. Are we comfortable with that? Is God sovereign? I'm going to give you my thoughts so you finish them, so some of you don't get nervous. Rhonda's already getting nervous. My thoughts at the very end are this. Do we remember Matthew 20, 22 to 23? I would say this. God has his own plans. Do we agree with that? I would say God is sovereign. Do we agree with that? And I would end by saying we serve and submit. By the way, one of the great Presbyterian theologians, he was one man in the late, this would have been 1920s and 30s. He was a man named J. Gresham Machen. He was one of the few guys that was an unbelievable first-class scholar and a great preacher, died in his 50s. Gone. Can I say this? You and I, are you one of two? You're one of two. Are you one of three? Maybe God put you on the inside. Maybe you have a real important part in this church, one of 12. But we always come down to we're one of one. We are one of one. God has plans for us. God is sovereign. And I hope, this is my prayer, that you all outlive me. Some of you don't think so. By the way, how do you know? How do you know? I'll close by saying this. Jim DeWar sent me something. When I went to Covenant Seminary in 1990-ish, they had a president there. He was the best, at that time, and still is, one of the best Presbyterian preachers I've ever heard. Guy could preach. Oh, my goodness, he could preach. I just found out he went to be with the Lord. And my professor friend from Covenant, Bob Yerborough, I texted him. I said, I'm sorry to hear this. He said, I just spoke with him last year. He was 80 years old. He said, everything is just moving fine. The guy hadn't lost a step, and the Lord just took him home. Can I say this to you? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. It's a beautiful story. James doesn't seem to ever do the things that you wanted him to do, which would be write books, preach sermons. He seems to have been to have gone far too soon. But no, he had a brother that lived to be probably into his 90s. He had a brother that wrote the Gospel of John. He had a brother that wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He had a brother that wrote Revelation. That was John's calling. James' calling was to be martyred for the Lord by a fool named Herod Agrippa the First. Thank you, Father, for your kindness, sovereignty. May we submit. May we simply serve and submit. I think that was the point of that whole point. We simply serve you and submit to you. May it be so tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.